you have your notes that we did while back. This is a must that we, and so I'm going to go through it. Of course, I'm not going to cover it exactly the same, but we're going to go through these teaching and lessons, and it is the one that is entitled "Healing is for All." So let's go ahead and pray and open our hearts to the Lord. You know, if the Holy Spirit is not given by all of us the opportunity to teach us, He cannot teach. You know, I was reading something, been reading now for a few months after a man, his name is Mike Murdoch. We've known him, you know, for many years, and he had such wisdom. And he was saying that if you will not respect, if you will not let yourself be influenced by someone, then you will not receive. So I'm not asking for you to respect me or to be influenced by me, but if you see that this is from the Word of God, you see, people want to get help, but if you do not respect the help, you know, if you already have a mind made up, then somebody said a long time ago, and it stuck with us, when the student is ready, the teacher will teach. And so, you know, it's not that all of a sudden the teachers are brilliant, because the Holy Spirit has always been brilliant. But it's that we finally are open to learn. We're ready. Amen. I believe that there are people of God that are more ready than ever. Amen. To receive. So, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We recognize him as our teacher, as our guide. He gives us light. He's the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, enlightening the eyes of our understanding. And so we welcome, Holy Spirit. We cry out to you with open hearts, with open minds, to hear from you what we might not have heard before, or what we might have heard up to a certain point before. We're open to you, Lord. And we thank you for what you will show us, deeper depths tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So one of the statements that really revolutionized our lives, and I believe many of you, is to understand that faith begins when the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So in other words, it's impossible to have faith before we know the will of God. When I was growing up, faith meant something very different to me. I really had not much of an understanding of faith, even though, how many of you can agree that faith is a household word in churches? You know, we always talk about have faith. And oh, this person has faith, or you know, you gotta have faith. But I did not know how to apply my faith. I didn't really understand where faith came from. I thought some people had it and some didn't have it. I thought that faith was something that you like jumping into the unknown. You know, But faith is very concrete. Faith is based on God's word. Faith is based on receiving what God's word says. Faith has a very stable and secure foundation and platform. It's not based on feelings. See, it's not based on circumstances. It's not based on opinions. Faith is based on the Word of God and on the Word of God alone. Amen? Because the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith comes. Faith comes. Faith keeps coming as we hear the Word of God. Faith is based on the Word of God. When you're born again, you're given faith. Because Ephesians tells us that faith is a gift to God. Right? It is by grace. And so let's go to Romans 12. And of course you recognized the scripture that I gave you in Romans about that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17, right? And I used to hear, oh, this person has faith. Oh, but you didn't know, where did they get it? You know, that was not clear to me. And how does a person get more faith than another? Those were concepts I was not taught. I didn't understand. And that's not to blame anyone, because you know what? You cannot teach what you do not know. Amen. So in Romans 12, are you there? Yeah, you are there. Yay. Would you give me verse 3? That way I save time. Okay. So it says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you," so he's talking to the church, "not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." So how should we think? We should think soberly as God thinks of us. Not any higher. We don't want to get into pride. We don't want to get out there, you know, on our own. But then again, we don't want to think of us, of ourselves, any less. We don't want to think of ourselves in a carnal way. You know, I was meditating on these, how that according to the scripture, we're a royal priesthood. We should think as royalty. All that we have and all that we are, we didn't obtain it ourselves. It comes from the Lord. But don't let the devil harass you. Amen? And oppress you and depress you when you're the redeemed. Washed by the blood. Amen? And you're royalty. God sees you that way. So anyway, and it says, "As God has dealt to each one," notice, "each one, a measure of faith." So when do we get that? When do we receive that? When we're born again. When we're born again, each of us receive a measure of faith. God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't decide, "I'm going to give Mark a greater measure because he..." You know, because it pleases me to do it, but I'm going to give her a lower measure because I want to see what she does with it. No, God starts us all at the same level when we're born again. So he gives us the same measure. Did you know with that measure is enough? It's enough to tell a mountain, be removed. That is, any trouble in your life, be removed. Be cast into the sea. Amen? It is the faith of God. He gives us faith. What type of faith? His type of faith. Amen? That is why faith is so precious. Because it's his kind of faith. That's why nobody can glory to have more faith than it's God's faith. When we use faith, when we release faith, is the faith of God that he has given us. It's a precious, the Bible calls it a precious faith. Amen? And so, it's impossible to boldly claim by faith a blessing which we are not sure that God offers. Okay? None of us can boldly receive from the Lord by faith a blessing, a healing, because if we're talking about healing, or any blessing, unless we are sure that God offers it. You see, when you're not sure, when you wonder, is this his will? If you're not sure that it is his will, you see, you need to find out. It's okay. It's not, the Lord is not condemning us for having doubts. Doubts come because of lack of understanding, lack of knowledge. Now, unbelief is a choice. They're two different things. Unbelief is seeing what one should believe but decided not to. But doubts are a result of not knowing, not having enough knowledge or understanding. Okay? And so the cure is to see in the Word of God. You know, the Lord will never reprove you or reprimand you for coming to him and saying, Lord, I don't understand this. Show me. You know, he rebuked them because of their unbelief, but he did not rebuke them necessarily before they should know better. Now, he didn't like doubt among those that had already seen who he was and what he did. Amen. But the cure, even for unbelief, is to know the Word of God. So, faith rests on the will of God alone, not our desires, not even our wishes. Praise God. It has to be on the will of God alone. Amen. The faith that receives is not by believing that God can, but that God will. You know, a lot of the church, I would say everyone, every member of the church everywhere in the world. See, we're a local church, but we're not the whole church. We have brothers and sisters everywhere, all over the world. One day is going to be so beautiful to be before the Lord, people of every nation, of every language. Amen. It's going to be a beautiful. I'm looking forward to that. Praise the Lord. I don't know how is it going to be. I don't know if we all are going to speak the same language, or if we're going to understand each other with our different languages. I don't know. I don't know. But I know it's going to be fun. And it's going to be glorious. Amen. And we're all going to be so glad to be the redeemed from different places. Amen. But what I was saying is that nobody doubts that God can. God is able. God is all powerful. He's omnipotent. Amen? I mean, we learned that. We learned some big words, right? He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He knows it all. Yeah? But do you trust him? You know, if I knew that my dad could do something for me, but he didn't do it, I would not have had confidence in him. But when, if you've heard this before, so bear with me, but when I was about to enter medical school, and he came to me and he said, Lydia, I'm sorry, sweetheart, but I can't send you, I can't afford it. And I saw how difficult it was for him to tell me. I had a good relationship with my daddy. And I heard myself say, don't worry, daddy. I know you would if you could. But he taught me enough about the Lord that I went to the Lord and said, My earthly daddy can't afford it, but I know you can. And he provided. And not too long. And you know, these, I think that's why I'm here in the United States, I'm paying my dad. But a missionary came to me, a couple of missionaries, dear people. They were like our second parents. And they said, you know, Lydia, in all the years here, this has never happened. But somebody contacted us and said that the Lord had put in their hearts to pay college for somebody in Spain. And we knew instantly it was to be you. They knew nothing. They knew nothing of my situation. So these precious people paid for my my bachelor's degree. Glory be to God. Anyway, the point I'm making is that I didn't get upset at my daddy because he didn't. Is that he couldn't. But you see, people knowing God can, they don't know or they don't believe he will. Is that a representation of a good God? That he can, but you don't know if he will? I'm asking you that question. To believe that God can, but not to be sure if he will, is to not know him. There's a lot, I present this to you and to myself. There's a lot of ideas going on in the body of Christ that we need to tackle, and we need to change our thinking, because we have a world that is hurting, and Jesus commanded us to go and heal them in his name. But when we don't see results, we put it on God. When we should demand it on us. Is there somebody that needs to change the way they think? It's me, not him. He's perfect. There's no fault to be found in him. Now in me, you can find them, and I'll help you find some more that you don't see. But I'm under the blood. Amen? So I've learned to be merciful to myself and just keep on going. Amen? Don't you say that to yourself. Just keep on going, honey. Just keep on going. Amen. So praise God, you cannot have faith to believe for something that you cannot with certainty claim as yours. Amen. I know some people have problem with this word claim, but use a different word that you might like, that you can live with. You know, that which you can receive as yours, that which you can take as yours. Amen. So let's go again to Matthew 8. We saw that, and we'll just go there quickly. But Matthew 8 is the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus answering a genuine question, the genuine question of a leper that did not know what Jesus had truly been sent to do. But it seems like at this time, he already knew that Jesus could, but he didn't know if he would. And so this is the answer. Let it be the answer to you. Not only the Lord can, but he wants to. There's nothing that is good that he will not do for you. Amen? And so verse 1 of Matthew 8 says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, or if you will, you can make me clean. So see, he knew that he could do it. You know, he was saying, you can make me clean if you're willing. If you're willing. So this is a question that the Holy Spirit wants to answer in each and every one of our hearts. He is willing. He wants to. As much as you want your healing, he wants it more. He paid for it. He wants you well. It is his will. And so Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. So another translation says, it is my will, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Praise the Lord. So this is an answer that his will canceled the leper's if. Amen. And there's a lot of ifs and buts. See, and as long as there's a question, see, then there's the opportunity for doubting. There's the opportunity there for us not to receive from the Lord. So the Lord wants to answer those ifs and those buts. All right? He wants to answer the uncertainties. Praise God. And so praise the Lord. Through the scriptures we see it is God's will to heal all who have need of healing. We're going to see that. In Exodus 23, you may just want to write that down because we have a good secretary there. Exodus 23, 25, 26. This is already in the Old Testament. I mean, God is the same from the beginning. We see it throughout. He wanted his people healed. And we're going to see as we go on, we're going to see God never put sickness on anyone. There's a lot of misunderstandings and reading scriptures wrong. Now there's people that, you know, we can open ourselves to sickness. Again, I refer you to the scripture in Hosea 4:6 that says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Not that we do it because we mean to, but because of lack of understanding, lack of knowledge, we can open a door to the enemy. You know, and people that live without the Lord, they already have it open. You know, but healing is for all. Christian and non-Christian alike. You know why? Because God hates sickness as much as he hates sin. Sickness did not appear until sin came in. I'm not saying that if a person's sick is because they have sinned. That's not what I'm saying. But the sin nature came in. You see, and so it has brought in with it sickness and everything that is of death. All right? And so this scripture is really good. It says, I will take, and that is the I think it's in verse 25. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. You know, when we pray over our food, we like to quote this scripture. We thank the Lord that he has blessed our bread and our water. Actually, if you look at it in the context, it's an angel that comes and blesses your bread and your water. See, according to the book of Hebrews, it's the angels are ministering spirits. And pray, that's so good. Amen? Because sometimes you don't know what you're eating or drinking. So he'll bless it in his name. Praise the Lord. And it says, I will take sickness away from the midst of you. How many precious people are serving the Lord with all of their heart? Godly people, holy people, consecrated people. But they have sickness. But that is not the will of God. His word declares, I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Amen. You know, we civilized people have gotten used to sickness and disease being a normal thing that attacks everybody. You know, but sickness is an enemy. Just like sin is an enemy. Did you know there are Christians, they don't treat sin as an enemy? The devil comes to tempt people to sin. And it looks so pretty sometimes, or so, maybe not pretty, but so tempting. That's the word temptation. You know? But we say, no. No matter how appealing it is wrapped. Amen? And so the same thing with sickness. We do not have to get, especially as we get older, don't accept that is just common and normal. Amen? It was just as wrong when I was 20 that now. It is not the will of God. You know, there's something in all of us that don't want. If it were the will of God, if really we were to believe, you've heard this many times before, that sickness the Lord allows, we wouldn't go to the doctor to try to get rid of it. If it's the will of God, then don't try to get rid of it. But no, something inside of us. You know, how many of us parents, when our children came down with something, felt and even said, I wish that I could bear these for them so that they would not have to. Any of you felt that way? Yeah. Because why? Because you were a good parent. And so if this is how we human beings feel, how much more our Heavenly Father? Do you really know He's good and He loves you and He wants your good? Amen. And so praise the Lord. Let's look at some more scriptures. Look at Psalm 105:37. Again, you can just write it down. And we see here that the promise was for all of them, regardless of age, regardless of gender, or whatever. It says, Psalm 105:37, He brought them, or He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among His tribes. This is when they left Egypt. Wow. Glory to God. He brought them well supplied, and there were none feeble. They were not all young. Whew. Glory to God. Not one feeble. My, glory to God. We're coming up. Amen. And here, it was where God gave the covenant and redemptive name, Jehovah Rapha, Exodus 15:26. That's when they were to leave, when they left Egypt. He revealed Himself to one of His names to them. You know, we won't go through that lesson today, but you know that there's many compound names of Jehovah, and they're known as redemptive names. Already in the Old Testament, He showed Himself as their Redeemer. The psalmist knew Him and called Him my Redeemer. So did Moses. Amen. So, notice here in Exodus 15:26, there is this phrase, I am the Lord that heals you. I am the Lord that heals you. We have a healer, Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah, your healer. I'm the God that heals you. Amen. Are you one of His people? Now we're sons and daughters. Now we're co-heirs with Christ Jesus. Is there anything that the Father would not do for Jesus? Is there anything He would not do for you, dear Shelley? But do you know that? Amen. Glory to God. We get to commune with Him and fellowship with Him with that certainty. It's not, you know, like we sang this song last week, let us, if we're going to glory in anything, see, let's glory in the Lord. And so we're not being proudful. See, you're not proud when you believe what God has said about you. You're God's, you know, you're the apple of God's eye. Teresa, He is infatuated with you. Glory to God. Amen. And with each and every one of us. Oh, dear Lord, hallelujah. Somebody said, I heard years ago, if God didn't have it, He would create it just for you. Ooh, glory to God. We're so privileged of our people to live this day and this hour. I know that many are tempted, you know, those days were tempted to say, the good old days are gone. But you know what? Let's not go there. Because for the people of God, there has never been more revelation of God than now. Amen? Because I know, I remember, you know, I'm young enough to remember that not that many people used to declare all the time, God is good. It did not use, it, that was not a slogan that was being said, God is good all the time. When it's in the, it's in the Bible, and how many times? You know, when the glory, the Shekinah came down, you know, in the temple, enveloped them all, that even the priests could not stand by reason of the cloud, they had been singing, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Shh. Thank you, Lord. So, Psalm 119:89, another scripture I wanted to give you. This is God's word. You have to know that God's word is forever settled in heaven. Amen? It is God's word forever settled in heaven. Why can we have certainty? We can have it because we are, we're using scripture. We're basing our faith on the, in the scripture. Amen? There's things that we have received from the Lord, and I remember when we, more when we first started, that I would say to the Lord, well, because I felt almost like, you know, by reason of how I was raised, like maybe I shouldn't ask, you know, anybody else was raised that way, you know, I should not be a person that you should ask that much, you know, just be content, don't ask that much, you know. But I would say to the Lord, well, Lord, I come to you with such and such because you told me to. You, I see in your word that you put that thought in my mind. You put the boldness in me to come to you and to receive. Amen. Glory to God. There's nothing that is too good for you. Now, that's a revolutionary thought for some people, but some of you are already used to that. Amen? Thank you, Lord. So, I could give you so many scriptures. John 6:38 is a good one. Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. So you see, Jesus is the expression of the will of the Father. If you want to know what God's will is, look at Jesus. So he, the teachings, the works of Jesus, they were the expression of the will of the Father. And in John 14:10, he said, the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. He's the one that does the works. See, and he was telling them these things because they did really not know what the Father's will was for them. You see, there was a knowing within themselves. At this point, that they were not right with God. Did you know that the enemy, the devil, Satan, is the accuser of the brethren? Now, if there's sin, then let's go to the Lord and repent. Amen? And confess the sin, and he'll cleanse us from unrighteousness. But if you have gone to the Lord and you still wonder, is there sin, and you cannot pinpoint, that is the accuser, making you feel you're not good enough before the Father. Something is keeping you from Him. You know, and that you need to eradicate that out of your feeler. You know, because it's not so much, it's not your heart, it's your feeler. You know, and your feeler can, you know, your emotions can lie to you. Amen. And so they were not sure as to what the Father would do for them. And so Jesus said, I came down not to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. And the Father that dwells in me, He doeth the works. And in verse 9 of John 14, He said, He that has seen me has seen the Father. So we look at Jesus, and that's what we're going to do for what we have left. That the healing of the sick by Jesus was a revelation of God the Father's will for men. Okay? Therefore, the church cannot any longer pray for the sick with the faith-destroying words, if it be thy will. Amen? And we've all heard it, and we're not putting anybody down. We may have done it ourselves at some point. But how can you go with faith and receive if you do not know the will of God? Recently, Pastor Jim referred to that scripture, and it's one of my favorites. And it's 1 John 5:14-15. And it talks about the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask Him anything according to His will, we know He hears us. Do you want to know that God's going to hear you when you come and pray? Amen? And so get to know His will. And then you can go with confidence, with certainty, that if you come to Him according to His will, He hears you. And it says if we know that He hears us, we know we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Amen? Glory to God. So we start with knowing His will. I've known this about prayer, and the more I pray, the more that gets validated, you know, in my life, that prayer is most of all for the purpose of getting to know Him. See, that's why I always like to, this is my prayer manual. Spending time with Him, communing with Him, with His word, to know Him. Prayer has mostly been used so that God can get to know you. Well, God already knows you. But we get to know Him and know His will, and then with boldness we come before the throne of grace, and we know that we have the petitions we ask of Him because we pray according to His will. Glory to God. So, again, faith rests on more than ability alone. Faith is not just based on knowing God can, but actually that God will. So I don't have that much more time, but I'm going to give you scriptures that will bless you. Luke 4:40. We're going to go see Jesus in action. Go see Jesus in action. Somebody gave this example that really got through to me years ago. If I were to be a billionaire, hey, we were talking this morning, there are trillionaires and even more in this, on this earth today, trying to buy the minds of the masses, controlling what we're going to be thinking, you know. Yet so many people of God, not realizing they've been against God financing the church big time. You know, and or afraid of having a lot of money. When money is it's not money that makes a person. It's how you use it, and what you use it for. Amen. But anyway, so if I were to be able to give each one of you $1,000 today. And there's not that many of you. Be nice if you were, you know, because it'd be more impacting. But you know, if I were to tell you, I have $1,000 for one of you today. Did you know none of you would have the faith to believe that that was you? But if I were to say, I have $1,000 for each of you, then you can have faith. See, faith is certainty. Faith is not hope. Hope is different. We need hope. We need, right? There's three that stand. Faith, hope, and love. The Bible says the greatest is love because it's the motivator. You see? And faith needs love. Faith works by love, through love. But so see, understand these, that people have thought, oh, am I a believer for that? No. All you can do is hope, because that promise has not been made to you personally. See, it would be like playing the lottery. But when you can own that scripture because you are there, then you can have faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Luke 4:40. This is how we receive our faith. Amen. What our faith is based on. Here we see Jesus. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. This is Jesus doing the will of the Father. What did he do? He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Healed them. Every one of them that he laid his hands on. And who did he lay hands on? All those that were sick with various diseases that were brought to him. Jesus healed them all in this instance. We don't know how many were there, but we know that he was able to lay hands on every one of them. Then Matthew 4, verse 23 through 25. It says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Notice the ministry of Jesus consisted, and we see it in other places, of teaching, preaching, and healing. Amen. So that's our ministry. It's still the ministry of Jesus. And it says that he, and healing, when it's referring to healing, all kinds not just certain kinds, not just a few kinds. You know, I've had people throughout the years, well, I'd like to know that somebody has been healed of these. Then I can, you know, it would help my faith to believe that somebody has been healed of these. Well, Matthew 4:23, among other scriptures, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. In verse 24 says, and then his fame went throughout all Syria. And they, you know, you look at the map, now we're increasing the geographic impact. And they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. So we have all kinds of representation of diseases, torments, epilepsy, paralysis, and even demon-possessed. And he healed them. And it says great multitudes followed him. And when we're talking about great multitudes, when you get into great, there's the multitudes, and there's the great multitudes. We're getting there close to like the 50,000 people. Followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Praise the Lord. So we see Jesus, that he healed them, and that he healed all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Glory to God. Matthew 9:35. We'll start there and we'll go through verse 1 of Matthew 10. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, again, see, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. The people came to hear him teach and preach. And the preaching and the teaching brought the confidence, the faith in the people. And then Jesus healed them. It says, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to the disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray, see this is a prayer, I pray all the time because Jesus said pray for these, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. So we see now Jesus is adding others. You see, so that they would do the same things that he was sent to do. He gave them power to do it. He's given us power to do it. We haven't seen anything yet. Amen. We have been given power to raise people from the dead, to cast out devils, to heal all sicknesses and diseases. If there's been failures in the body of Christ, it's not because God left us. Amen. If the word of God is true, for me to base my salvation in it, on it, amen, then either all of it is true or none is true. Glory to God, it is true. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I may not be blessing you, I'm blessing myself. Matthew 12:15. But Matthew 12:15, very good. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him. Notice here, and he healed them all. He healed them all. It doesn't say necessarily that he lay hands on all. Here we're talking about great multitudes. But we're gonna see, we can see that Jesus used different methods of healing. The laying on our hands is one, but there are several other biblical methods of healing. Some people got healed just by hearing the word. Others got healed by touching the hem of his garment. Others got healed because they received the word that he said. Remember the centurion man? Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. Glory to God. That marveled Jesus. He said, I haven't seen that great of a faith among the Jews, among Israel. But here's a Roman centurion that had faith in the word. In his word, just say it. Just say the word. Did you know the Lord already has said the word about you? He sent his word and healed you. Healed me. Glory to God. Oof. Matthew 14:14. When Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. And he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. You know, Jesus still moved with compassion. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But notice, the compassion of Jesus is not just feeling for you. The compassion of Jesus is filled with power that gets the job done. The compassion of Jesus comes and gets red and destroys the work of the devil. Glory to God. Just two more scriptures and I'm going to have to go. Matthew 14:34-36. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all surrounding region, brought him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. So see, it's not just the woman in Mark 5, and the woman with the issue of blood. There was something about that they knew about the hem of the high priest. The anointing that had gone, you know, and they had faith in that. And look at that. As many as touched him, they were made perfectly well. He just came down, and there was a great multitude. I'm going to Luke 6 here. Luke 6:17-19. But here in Matthew 14, what we just read, he came to the land of Gennesaret. And he was recognized, and you know, people told others about Jesus being there, and they brought the sick, and they said to him, let us just, you don't have to bother to do anything, let us just come and touch the hem of your garment. So I don't know if they form a line or whatever, and he just stood there. I don't know. Maybe we'll get to see it, how it happened, you know. But they came, and it says that as many as did that, they were perfectly whole. Wow. It didn't bother Jesus. That was a point of contact of faith, you know, for them. And Luke 6, we'll finish with this today, verse 17 through 19. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude. The crowd was his disciples. They were not a crowd, but the great multitude together of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Notice, I love this scripture. They came to hear him. What you respect, what you honor, will have an impact in your life. If you dishonor, you know, that the way that you treat somebody is either honor or dishonor. You know, the Bible says we are to honor the brethren. I owe you honor, each one. You cannot receive someone you do not honor. Amen? That's why we ought to honor our husbands. And husbands ought to honor their wives. We ought to treat our children with honor. Anything that is not honorable should not be even named among us. Amen. Glory to God. It's a holy place. It's a holy place, not just here in this room, but it's a holy place in your home. Your home is a holy place. It has holy people in it, bought by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Shh. Glory to God. There's I don't know if you know that, but there's an anointing on those words. The Lord likes them. Amen? Doesn't mean that you can't have fun. Sure, you can have fun. We don't have to be religious. But we're going to be real. Not religious, but real. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Real Christians. You know what? I remember that I wrote this year. Christianity is not about being like other Christians. It is about being like Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil get you where will other Christians do it. Yeah, well, would Christ do it? Amen. Ooh, glory to God. So anyway, did we finish that? No? Okay, so let's finish that scripture. Who came to hear him be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. Again, for power went out from him and healed them all. So here it doesn't refer to the hem of his garment, but to touch him. And why did they do that? You see, by doing such, they were recognizing that he was the anointed one. That anointing came out of him. That's why they touched him. They had been taught about the anointing. And so after 3 years of close association with the Lord, the apostle Peter, in the book of Acts, when he was preaching in Acts 10:38, he said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So see, Jesus himself, there's no better no better explanation than the one that Jesus gives in Acts 10:38, that sickness is oppression of the devil. And Jesus healed it because he was the anointed one. He is still the anointed one. And today we see it after he went to the cross. All these examples were before he was offered as the sacrifice lamb. And Peter, in 1 Peter 2:24, we've been seeing this here lately, said, by whose stripes you were healed. We were healed. We were delivered from the oppression of the devil. How dare you, devil? Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, there's so much. The Bible is full of it. Full of so much. Praise God. Amen. The Lord is good. Jesus healed that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Matthew 8:17. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We just thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your precious people that receive your word. Thank you, Lord, for the renewing of our mind. Thank you, Lord, you're for us and not against us. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Truly, truly, what a friend we have in Jesus. We worship you. You, we honor you, and we give you glory. And now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we bless everyone here tonight, that as they go back to their respective homes, Lord, that you continue to fellowship with them, guide them to all the truth, and give them the answers they need. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for it. We believe we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for coming tonight.